All right. So how are you? I did an interview with you last time at the Grove of Anaheim.
Yeah, quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Overkill tour?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing since then?
All kinds of stuff. Since then, I had to reconstruct the band to release this most recent record, Mode of the Vanquished. And that consumed most of the time since then. This year, though, we put that record out. We've been touring on it all year, basically. We're about to wrap up that cycle. At least the intention of the touring part. And then my personal life, I got married this year on tour in July in Slovenia. Oh, thank you. And I also am I'm working on studies to be a history professor at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
So, where do you want to teach?
I'm thinking of trying to get a teaching job at Cal Poly, which is up in San Luis Obispo, for the reason that that is where I'd like to live.
Oh, it's beautiful up there.
Absolutely. That's why more nature and stuff. I live in L.A. and I'm sick of the city. You know, I never was much of a city slicker myself. I like trees and stuff and absence of cars and people.
There's lots of wine tasting up there, too.
I'm more into beer drinking. But,
yeah, I know.
You know.
It's fun. You get a little passport and you try to stamp them all. There's no way.
I'm down to drink some wine, too. It just makes me sleepy, that's all.
So when is your tour wrap up?
Well, we're not on tour currently. Oh. We wrapped up our second U.S. tour. We did two full European runs and two full U.S. runs this year. We just wrapped up our USA run with Dark Tranquility and Stryker. Now we're playing this show, and we have a short West Coast run with Ex Mortis and Darkest Hour that's coming up in December, and that pretty much wraps it up for the year.
Okay.
We might do some gigs in the first half of the year, but I'm thinking of hitting the road again, like serious touring back next summer. Then, somewhere around that time, beginning the next record.
Are you playing anywhere in LA in December?
Yes.
Where?
Top, we are playing in Los Angeles on this tour I just described in December. If you're interested, you can find it. I don't remember. You know, it's a weird thing about being on tour. You're doing a show every day, so I don't really. No one knows less where I'm playing than I do. It's pretty ridiculous. It drives my wife crazy, but I have this sort of like. Attitude of, well, I will go wherever the winds of fate carry me.
Right.
You know, and the winds of fate, aka booking agent.
You don't have an iPhone to tell you.
Yeah, well, they don't tell me directly. I get a schedule and we go there. We go to those places, we play the shows, and that sort of dictates a lot of what I do in my life is that schedule. But I like it because it sort of throws curveballs at you. You don't know where the hell you're going to end up or what you're going to see because you're just going to points on a map that someone else picked for you. So, like, it adds a sort of element of chance to it.
So you don't pick
someone else? No. I'm not booking agent. I'm a singer. I get on the stage.
Okay.
I don't put the logistics together of me getting on the stage, you know?
Is there anywhere you'd like to play that you haven't?
Not too many. Russia. I played almost everywhere in the U.S., most of Europe. I've never been to Russia. I've been to a lot of historical stuff, and Russia's really interesting. It's a strange and different world. Never been there. Been to Japan, China, Thailand, and much of Southeast Asia, all over North America, much of South America, Central America. No Africa, no Middle East, no India, no Russia. And then, Hawaii.
Australia
we've done.
Okay.
Yeah. Never New Zealand, though.
Okay.
The list of places I haven't done is shorter than the list of places I have. Warbringer's played approximately 1,300 gigs, to my best estimation, in our 10 years of existence. So, given that we had a couple years where we weren't playing any gigs, we had a couple years of non-existence in there, it's a pretty heavy-duty average. I heard that Iron Maiden's played about 2,000 shows at this point, so we're over half what they've done in a quarter of the time. It's weird. Well, wow. What am I doing? Jesus. But I love it. I love playing shows. And it's great being here at Ozfest, Knotfest. Second time playing Glen Helen Amphitheater in San Bernardino. We played the Battle of San Bernardino once here with Iron Maiden.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That was literally something in my mind that I always wanted to do, you know, open for Iron Maiden. That's the dream. Done. We did it. Cool. That was like
What's
a few
next
years
dream?
I don't know. Shit. I think just make sweet records, play awesome metal, try to not compromise any of what the music meant to me when I found it. Try to keep it really fast, extreme, intense, and at the same time try to develop ourselves, try to evolve it, try to not just leave, you know, this extreme thrash metal thing where we left it when we found it and picked it up and start playing this style of music ourselves, you know, try to make some contribution and change to it. Which I think this last record we find, I can say I feel like I succeeded at that. If I get in a car wreck on my way home, well, I made that record, and to me that justifies my whole existence. I'm happy with it. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So since you're trying to be a history professor, every place you go, do you find out the history of the places you're at?
Not every place. Some days I'm lazier than others. And some places I'm particularly interested, like I got married in Cobarid, which used to be called Caporetto, and that's a big deal in like World War I and Italian history and stuff, and Mussolini built a monument there. It was like a huge defeat for the Italian army, and it caused an overthrow of the government and the rise to fascism. It was a big player. That event was a big part of it. Hemingway wrote a book about that place called A Farewell to Arms. We stayed in the houses. And I always try to get in those things. The stuff I'm interested in, yes. To no end of chagrin from my bandmates. That's how it goes. I think it's interesting, too, that basically every single place you can go in the entire world, that you are not the first person to have been there. You're part of a great continuum of people who have been there and done things there. And it honestly, in this culture where the mainstream media, the music, even the fucking president tells you that you should be this kind of person who waves around a neon sign that says, look at me and how great I am, I like thinking about the vast span of time and stuff, because it tells you, no, you idiot, you're fucking tiny, and if you try to convince yourself otherwise, you're a fool, you know, and you're wrong. Objectively, not a matter of opinion, not opinion at all, it's fact. So I like that about it too, because it forces you to be humble, to understand that your time will pass and you'll be a memory that maybe, if you're lucky, you'll be a boring fact for some other person, you know. Most people don't get that. Most people lived and died in complete anonymity. And so it's a real, there's actually a bit of this in our music and the song Divinity of Flesh. It's like, well, why am I making music? I want to leave something of myself in the world so that that is not my fate. So that I can, you know, after I am gone and dead, that people can pick up a record I was on and know something about me and what me and, you know, and our group and our band, what our thoughts were, what we thought was good music and bad music and, you know, and what we were about. So that's part of the real impetus for me to make music and why I want to do metal, because metal can, like, speak of these things, of timelessness, of epic stuff, of things bigger than ourselves. And,
I learned,
you know,
a lot of history through metal, like Iron Maiden and Metallica, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true, because these are guys, you know, Harris and Dickinson or Hetfield weren't concerned with writing a song about, like, well, how do I feel right now? You know, what did I think of this? Or like, me, what, you know? Or now you can just write about what brand names of stuff you own, and that counts as rhymes, you know? So I'm totally against this. So I try to go the opposite direction. And guys like Dickinson and Harris or Hetfield are an inspiration to me, because they wrote about something that, just like when I was hearing Master of Puppets or Power Slave for the first time, I wanted to hear, what's that song about? There's these references in there. I don't know what they are. The song is a story, and it's about a real story. And so whatever its theme is about, like, epic heroism in the case of Iron Maiden or something, they're telling you real human stories of epic heroism. It's not made up. It's not bullshit. It's none of this, like, wearing goat skulls and pentagrams because you think it looks cool or anything. It's like, it's actual art, you know. And I really firmly believe, and I'll say this till my dying day, heavy metal has never gotten its credit as being a legitimate art form for the musicianship it features and for how it can express a bunch of different stuff, from straight up happy, like Halloween Keeper of the Seven Keys, those are jolly ass records and I love them, to the most morbid and vile and everything in between. So that's why I'm here, that's why I'm still here after 10 years and 1,300 shows. Keeps dragging me out to do one more show every time. and I guess I'm all right with that. You know, yeah.
Is there anyone you want to play with, record with, or tour with that you have not?
Oh, plenty. Like, well, in general, any band that draws a lot of people. But that's every band that says that. Anyone who would tell you no to that, they're lying to you. But for me personally, you know, pretend that it's not who sells records, it's what myself thinks is great. I would want to tour with Iron Maiden. If Rodney James Dio came back from the grave, not as a hologram, I would tour. Right. I'd love to tour with him. I never saw Dio live, and that kills me because he's one of my favorite writers and musicians in music. I would love to tour with, you know, if we're talking living or dead, classic Thin Lizzy. You know, you could pick any of the late 70s, early 80s records. Any of the lineups they had are great. You know, Black Sabbath was really the first band that got me into music, so that, Judas Priest is still around. You know, I'd love to tour with great metal bands, and I'm lucky to say, I haven't toured with the ones I've named, but many more bands that you could name that are great metal bands I have.
Okay.
Creator, Exodus, Testament, Death Angel, Destruction.
So you're halfway there.
Yeah, so when people say which bands would you love to tour, it's like, well, I've checked off most of the list, to be honest. At this point, I'm not... That part of me that gets starstruck, and it's gone. I don't have that anymore. But what I do have is just a genuine appreciation for each time I get on stage. There's people there. They give a damn about what we're doing. And that inspires me to try to give them one hell of a show, you know?
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I think that's all I need. But thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Likewise.
And carry on for the rest of the day. I'm sure you have other...